95BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow, praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airwaves.
Quit worrying because it's going to be all right. Everything is gonna be all right. Yesterday, a man stepped up to me. He said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, it's no secret when I wanna cry. I take a look around and I see I'm getting by, so hold on. Your change is coming. Hold on, don't worry about a thing. Hold on, you can make it. Hold on, everything. Listen, some people like to worry. Some people try to hide. Some people try to run away from the pain inside. Now it's your business. Do what you gotta do. But if it don't worry, God, here's what you gotta do. Now hold on, your change is coming. Hold on, don't worry about a thing. Hold on, you can make it. Hold on, everything. When the troubles alive are weighing you down, just keep your head up. And the love that you see is so hard to find. Keep the faith, keep your head up, and just keep holding on.
Hold on.
Your change is coming. Hold on. Don't worry about a thing. Hold on.
All right.
You can make it. Hold on. Everything, come on, real soft. La la, 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 la la. Now hold on,
hold on.
Your change is coming.
Change is coming.
Hold on. Don't you worry about a thing. Hold on. You can make it. Hold on. Everything. Come on, one more time. La la.
La la.
La la. La la. La la. La la. La la. Change is coming. Hold on. Don't worry about a thing. Hold on.
You can make it.
Hold on. Everything is gonna be all right.
Amen. Amen. Just hold on. Everything is gonna be all right. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for this precious moment that you have given us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy, your patience with us and your patience for us. And now, Lord, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Yield and steal in thy holy hands. Have thy own way, Lord. Have thy own way. Give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In the glorious and magnificent name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. To Evangelist Lavallee and to the officers and members of this great church, Mount Olive Baptist Church, the Mount of Olive. It's just good for us to be here. And I'm grateful and thankful that I've lived long enough to know that I'm not still here because of my goodness, but because of God's grace and his love for you and I. I'd like to lift up a thought this morning. If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the book of Acts, the action of the apostles, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, and beginning at verse 37. Very familiar passage of scripture. I want to thank that choir this morning. Y'all done a magnificent job. I could have just sit there and just kept on listening. And Arthur, he was on key this morning. You were too. It just was beautiful. I enjoyed every moment of it. I think sometimes we all just sing and praise and thank God and go home. But I know we done heard enough sermons and we done read enough scripture. You ain't got no business being lost. Begin at verse 37, chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were stung, cut, pierced to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, what must we do? Peter answered them, repent. Change your views and purpose to accept the will of God in your inner selves instead of rejecting it. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness and release from your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. May God bless the reader, hear, and do of his divine word. For a little while, I would like to share with you from the thought, take heed to the gospel. Take heed to the gospel. To take heed means to gladly receive the word of God. Take heed. It means to be guided by the word of God. Take heed. It means to take notice of, listen, and do that which you have heard. But James tells us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. The question comes then, what is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news, that Christ took our place at Calvary. He became the substitutionary atoning death for us. That's the gospel. And that's what saves us. Now, we must understand that man, when he sins, he doesn't automatically run to God. When Adam had done wrong, he rebelled against God. He didn't go running to God. He called himself trying to run away from God. But God came to him in the cool of the evening and asked him, Adam, where are thou? Now, common sense will let us know God knew where he was because he placed him where he was. He created the garden, but he wanted a response. And that's what the gospel is all about. That it has to have a response when it has been proclaimed. Yes, and we either accept it or we reject it. Amen. I've been in this business of ministry long enough to know people get mad with you.
Yes,
from you preaching the word of God.
Amen.
Paul was run out of town. Paul was stoned to death. Yes. Paul was snake bitten, all for the sake of the gospel. Now, I'm learning that there is no value in preaching unless lives are being changed. Indeed, worship is not worship until someone has claimed or come forward for Christ. And we notice in this text that as Peter preached to his hearers, who were a majority Jews audience, that they were convinced, convicted, commanded, and converted through the preaching of the gospel. First of all, they were convinced that they needed to be saved. The Jews had first believed that because they were the children of Abraham, that they didn't need to be saved. But the gospel made them aware of their sins. They expressed genuine sorrow for their sin. Yeah. For the text said, when they heard this, the gospel,
yes,
the word of God, that God had made this Jesus whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ.
Amen.
The sermon got their attention. It says it right there. When they heard this, they were stung, they were pierced to their heart, and they cried out, what must we do? They were convinced that they needed to be saved. But I've lived long enough to believe that there are many that don't realize that they need to be saved. Some people may think that because their name are on the church roll that everything is all right. Some people may think that as long as they show up every now and then or show up every Sunday, whatever may be the case, everything is all right. Some may believe that when I'm serving in this ministry, I'm serving in this capacity, but you've got to be born again. Born of the Spirit. And ain't no change going to happen unless you've been born of the Spirit. Peter had said to them that they crucified the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the one they had been waiting for. But when Jesus showed up, he didn't show up like they thought he ought to. They were looking for a warrior. They were looking for someone to take down the Roman government and establish his kingdom here. But the kingdom was within us, was within them. But Peter had preached this gospel to this crowd. And the gospel, not only will it convince you of your sins, but it will convict you of the fact that you need to be saved.
Amen.
You know, in the text, it said they cried out, what shall we do? This was the same cry that the Philippian jailer said when the storm earthquake had come and rocked the jail and shook loose their chains. And he brought Solomon, brought Paul out, and he said, sir, what must I do to be saved?
Yes,
somebody's crying out this morning, Ralph.
Yeah.
What must I do about the sin in my life? What must I do about my unforgiving spirit? What must I do to have peace within? I'm glad you asked. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved.
with the heart one believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Amen.
Romans 10, 9 through 10.
Amen.
When you hear the gospel, you can make that decision. You can make that choice. And it won't happen unless you do it. Not only does the gospel convince us that we need to be saved, not only does the gospel convict us of our sin, but the gospel commands us to do two things. It's right there in the text. Peter said, you got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Repent, it's more than signing a decision card. It involves sorrow over one's sin. Not because they got caught, but because they sinned against God. When David had done wrong, he said, I've sinned against thee. When that prodigal son had ran off and came back home, he said, I've sinned against thee. Repent. It's to make that decision to turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Repent. It means to turn to Christ for salvation. For it's been said that man is born with his face turned away from God. But when he truly repents, he turns around towards God.
Amen.
And he leaves his old life.
Yeah.
Repentance is the process by which we see ourselves day by day as we really are.
Yeah.
Now, some people call sin a mistake. Some people call sin an error. Some people call sin this or that. But sin is sin. It's no little sin, no big sin. Anytime we rebel against God, anytime we disobey God, we have sin. But he's there to welcome us home. He's there to forgive us if we ask. He's faithful and he's just to forgive us of all sins if we just confess to him and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. He's not only must we repent. And this word repent, it gives us this word metamorphosis, that it has the meaning of the caterpillar that crawls into the cocoon and stays for a reasonable time and comes out a butterfly. But he never goes back to being a caterpillar. And once you have been saved, you are saved for life. Now, you're not perfect. Now, don't leave here saying, I'm saying you got to be perfect. That's not what I'm saying. We are striving towards perfection. Because whether you realize or not, all of us got something wrong with us. I don't care how much Holy Ghost you got or how whatever you got something wrong with you. And it ain't going to be a day past that you don't think something you ought not think, say something you ought not say, do something you ought not do. Oh, yeah. Now, you may not like Miller Lite, but I bet you like something. Got somebody's attention then, didn't it?
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
sir.
You got something wrong.
Yes, sir.
And there are areas where we have to ask God to help us.
Yeah.
And I know Willie got some things that he had to work with.
Man.
Amen. I don't know about you. Oh yeah. I have to stay, I have to stay talking to him.
Amen.
To help me stay focused.
Yes.
Secondly, he said, you got to be baptized.
Yeah.
Now, this is the profession of your faith in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, baptism alone does not save us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're not saved when we put you in the water, you went in a sinner wet, you come out a sinner wet. The salvation comes within your heart on the inside.
Yeah.
And the baptism is the outward profession of your salvation. It identifies us with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. Repentance will lead to forgiveness of sin. It will result in the forgiveness of our sin. When sins are forgiven, salvation is present. The presence of salvation means that we receive the Spirit of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he will guide us, he will lead us. And you know what? If you let him, he'll teach you.
If you let him, he'll always lead you to do what's right. If you let him. Now, he ain't going to force himself on you. He ain't going to put you on time out. But if you allow him to guide your life. And Peter kept pressing the issue of salvation. If we must keep pressing the issue of salvation, that all might be saved from this corrupt, crooked, twisted, perverse generation. And you know how it is today. You got a president that don't do nothing but lie. And we don't know what's going to happen the next day. The gospel convinces us we need to be saved. The gospel convicts us of our sin. The gospel commands us to repent of our sin and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And finally, it converts us. Saves us. The text says at the bottom now, in verse 44, before Peter could even open up the doors of the church, 3,000 souls. Come on. Now look what it says. It said God added. Therefore, those who accepted and welcomed the message, the gospel, they were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls. They heard the message. They heard the gospel, and they accepted Christ. And the gospel is preached because it has the power to save. It has the power to correct, to create whole person in a broken world. That newlywed at Canaan, what happened to y'all? He took ordinary water and turned it into extraordinary wine. That maniac that was living in the cemetery, you know he was out of his mind. He lived in the cemetery, tearing his clothes off, cutting himself all up. But the Bible says that when he met Jesus, he was found clothed and in his right mind. Young man with the withered hand, what happened to you? He straightened out my hand and he straightened out my life. That woman that Jesus met at Jacob's well came to get a bucket of water, but she left with a well within her flowing out. Said, come see a man that told me all about myself. The gospel is God's answer to a bad reputation. Reputation, what people say about you. Character is who I really am. The gospel let us know that no one is too lost to be found, too low down to be lifted, too far out to be brought in, too dirty to be washed, too hungry to be filled, too thirsty to be satisfied, too sorrow to be saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ will turn your life around, but you have to accept it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Dunamis. The strength of God, only God can save. And he does it through the gospel. He makes appeal to us every time the gospel is preached. He makes an appeal to us. All through Jesus Christ. Mary's baby boy, God's only begotten son, came down, fought in two generations, born in a barn, raised in the ghetto. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Went about doing good. Thought not of himself. Healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, fed the hungry, clothed the naked, touched the lepers. He was healed, the same Jesus, with the Calvary one Friday. Hung, bled, and died for your sin and my sin. They laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, my rock in a weary land, my Alpha Maker got up. Got up, whoa, power.
Come on now.
Gospel will save us, my Lord. But we have to accept the message and not get upset with the messenger. And so often we reject the message because of the messenger. That's what happened with the Jews. Jesus didn't show up like they thought he ought to. So he can't be the Messiah. He's hanging out with the publicans, sinners. There can't be no Messiah. Touching leopards. Letting the secret sisters of the night touch him. Can't be. Huh? He can't be the Messiah. That's not the one we've been looking for. No, no. He's a Jew, but he don't act like no Jew. Something wrong with this here picture. And they crucified him. But they didn't know that was God's plan for man's salvation. God could have used any avenue he had wanted, but he chose to use his son to come forth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That be one this morning, we welcome you to come. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. This is your day. All we have is this precious day today. This moment now, that's all we have. We don't know what this day has for us, not counting tomorrow.
When
if you be present, you can come by letter, Christian experience, or baptism. But Jesus said, whosoever will, let them come. So if you're present, won't you come? This is your opportunity.
Don't you know we're gonna sit?
The old folk used to say, come by the blood is running warm in your veins. Won't you come?
Oh, what a time.
Amen. We've done if God commanded us to do, yet there's room to do more. Amen. Yes. We'll soon
be over.
What a time.
Oh, what a time.
What a time.
What a time. Don't you know we're gonna sit down by the banks of the river. Oh, what a time.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
This is the 70,000-watt voice of the community. K-A-Y-T. Gina Alexandria.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. I'm only going to be a short while here, unless the Lord says differently. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. Recorded are these words. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in his presence. I want to talk about the victory of overcoming faith. The victory of overcoming faith. I think if you grasp the meat of this message, it will change your life in ways you never could understand without this issue of faith. One of the things that I think is so important about this word that John speaks is that he helps the believer to understand that there are some things in place that must be in place in the believer's life in order for the believer to be successful, not only in the things of God, but things in the world. We are, as children of God, the lights of the world.